You know, this week is a hard week, not just for Lynn and Jackie. On the 20th, is 1 year since my dad passed. 21st. So it's tough. You guys allowed me last week. I'll get my composure here in a minute. You guys allowed me last week to take some time off. And what I discovered in that time off, among many things that I discovered, is I needed that week to prepare for this week. And I didn't realize last year that I would miss my dad this year the way I did. So anyway, God's good though. Because he can take our pain of missing someone and remind us of the joy that we have in knowing the truth of the words of that song. The only scars in heaven are the one on Jesus' hands. And, you know, I know people believe differently about heaven and whether people that are there can see us and da-da-da, but I believe that Jerry, and I believe your dad, I believe my dad, they're there. And they see us singing that song. Hard as it is for us to clap and dance, crazy people are out there. That's all we're doing. The crazy people that love Jesus. And they're healed. They're healed. And man, that's, we ought to be, yeah, we hurt, but man, the joy that comes out of us in that situation. You know? We ought to dance. We ought to clap. And we ought to praise God that at some point in time in their life, they chose Him. They chose Him. And that's the most important thing. So enough of that. Laughter is good sometimes, y'all. It's good. The series that we've been in this month has been about the harvest. And all across, you know, South Carolina and, well, the United States, around the world, people do fall festivals, they'll do harvest festivals. And we've sort of alluded to that a little bit, but normally, at this time of the year is when farmers go and they get their crops and they've collected them and now they're doing something with them, right? They've either sold them to make a living or they're, guess what, hopefully storing them up, right? Because they might need them in the colder months and the days to come. But this far in our series on the harvest, we've been reminded of God's intent for us in His creation. This morning, we've been reminded of God's intent for us in His creation. Because here's the reality. We were set apart for the purpose of tending to the garden. Think about it. God put man in the garden that was perfect. And our only job was to tend to it. Guess what? That hasn't changed. Now, we know the story. It got a little messed up. Got a little changed. But what didn't change in that is, as the greatest of God's creation, we are expected to what? Tend the garden. And along with that, the Bible said that we're supposed to do what? Go and be fruitful and multiply. So not only were we to tend the garden, we were to put people in place to tend the garden for generation after generation after generation, right? In other words, God said, go be fruitful, multiply, and spread out over the earth. And throughout God's Word, you'll find various points of instruction for us on how we are to go about accomplishing those things. And it shouldn't come as a surprise that also throughout God's Word, we find points of instruction on placing our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ, in God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and put our faith and trust in how He works in our life. All that we do, all that we do in life revolves around the people and or things that we put our faith in. Think about it. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. Everything you do in life revolves around what it is or who it is you put your faith in. When we think of the processes of life, it relates heavily to the law of the harvest. Remember that from our first week in this series. We will reap what we sow. We will reap in the places that we sow. We will reap more than what we sow. And we will reap much later than when we sow. Christian, if you're here this morning and you've given your life to Christ and you can call yourself a Christian, can I remind you of how important it is to make sure that you are sowing, Renee, what?
Good seed.
But not just sowing good seed, but sowing it in a proper place. Good seed sown in proper soil, watered with the Word, will in due time produce an abundant harvest. Not for you, but for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. So last week, we looked at one of the parables from Jesus in Matthew 13. And this parable spoke of what? A farmer who spread his seed on four different types of soil. And in that story, where was the man's faith? We didn't even talk about his faith, did we? He was a farmer. He had seed. And he went out, and we know that he spread that seed generously. He didn't really care where it fell, right? And we know that in that story it fell on four different types of soil. And we know that those four different types of soil represent to us the four different heart conditions of people, right? But this farmer, where was his faith? His faith was in the seed. He went and spread the seed that he trusted, that he knew. He wasn't necessarily concerned about where it was going to land because he trusted that the seed was good. And what do we know in all those instances? The seed grew, right? Okay, now we know in the good soil, that's the one that ended up with the ripe harvest and the good part, right? Okay? So his faith was in this seed. He knew that it was good, and he knew that if he spread it out over the ground, that at least some of it would grow. Some of it would produce. And in this lesson, we also discover that Jesus wants us to understand something about ministry or the spreading of the gospel. He wants us to understand that we shouldn't get upset by those who get angry with us or reject us or even make fun of us for what we believe. He doesn't want us to get mad when people look at us and say, "That's a bunch of crazy people." He doesn't. After all, not everyone's heart is open to hear about Jesus. Not everyone's heart is ready to listen for the calling of the Holy Spirit. And just like the farmer, we're to spread the good news as we go about our lives, knowing that it may fall upon deaf ears and unreceptive hearts, but also believing that some will fall on fertile ground. And in due time will produce a right and proper harvest. So today we're going to look at another of the parables from Matthew 13. This parable follows the parable of the soils. And it's actually only found in Matthew's account. You don't find it in any of the other gospels. So let's first read the parable, and then we'll come back and we'll read Jesus' explanation of it. But we're going to read Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. And it should be on the board for you. And it says what? He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." I'm going to pause right there. Now we just got a parable, what? Of a man who was doing what? Sowing good seed in a field. Well, then Jesus follows that parable up by this teaching, and he says, "But while his men were..." Oh, go back, Brady. Is that it? Is that... Yeah, that's the next one. Sorry. "But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in the gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" You say, "Well, what in the world does this parable..." We just got this parable about spreading seed wherever, right? And I go back to, where was the man's faith? In the good seed that he put in the field. Now, we get to this story. What happened to that field? It says an enemy of the farmer came and planted some more seed, right? Well, we know that seed wasn't good seed, though, because in the story, what do we find? What grows up with the good seed is the bad seed, right? Well, each of the parables in this chapter of chapter 13 of Matthew teach us something about God and his kingdom. And in this one, we discover that God's kingdom is not just physical, okay, but spiritual. We can only experience living in his kingdom when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But before we go down that road, before we get a little further down that road, let's go read verses 36 through 43 and get Jesus' explanation of this parable. It says, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" Who is that? Jesus. "The field is the what? World. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom." Who's the sons of the kingdom? If we're a Christian, it's us, right? "The weeds are the sons of who? The evil one." All right? "And the enemy who sowed them is the devil." I love how Jesus teaches. You know why? Because he don't sugarcoat anything. He just tells it like it is. "And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. Woo! And the reapers are angels." Now what's Jesus doing there? He's being prophetic in that. Because he's saying, you know what? There's going to come a time when the harvest time is going to be here. That's not a physical, it's a spiritual thing. It's taking us to our Revelation study that we're almost finished with on Sunday nights. And we've been talking about this for months. There's going to come a day when Jesus comes back, and this harvest that Jesus is talking about is going to happen. Right? It is then that the reapers, according to this, are going to do what? They're going to gather the good wheat, right? And then they're going to gather the what? The bad weeds that are there. And what's going to happen? In the parable, what does it say is going to happen to the weeds? Put them in bundles to be burned. Now, I could stop right there and give you the good old hellfire and damnation sermon right out of that. Right? And a lot of people say, well, any good pastor, that's what you got to do. But I don't have to try to scare you. I just want to be honest with you. Jesus is honest and he's real. The reality is, if you don't choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you make it to the day of this final harvest, then guess what? You'll be put in with the weeds and you'll be destined to spend an eternity, the Bible says, where? In hell. I don't want that for anyone. Not just here, but out there too. Well, Any gardener knows the dangers of weeds, right? Carol and Al, y'all need to talk to Carol and Al. They amaze me at their thinking and knowledge. Mushroom growing. It's craziness. Roasting their own coffee beans, by the way. So, but everybody that farms, I mean, you've had a garden, haven't you, Gil? You've had, or grow flat. What do you do with weeds? You either pull them up, or if you say, man, there's too many of them, you go get that stuff in the bottle. Right? And you spray it everywhere, and you say, well, I hope that don't get all the good stuff. Hope it just gets the bad stuff, right? In other words, the weeds, nobody likes them. Nobody wants them, right? Every gardener knows the dangers of weeds. Weeds are defined as anything that you do not plant, water, or fertilize. They just show up and grow up all on their own. Well, that's our reality today. But Jesus' story gives us a different picture, right? But here we discover weeds that were intentionally planted among the good seed. Planted there not by the farmer, but instead by who? The enemy, by Satan. See, the farmer in this story is Jesus. The good seed or the crop is hopefully us. The enemy is Satan. And the time of the harvest is that final judgment day. Well, when I read this, though, one of the first questions that come to my mind is, why would God allow Satan to sow weeds, to sow bad seed, to sow sin right alongside the good stuff? I mean, when you read that, do you not think that? So, well, if that's the point of this story, why does God even allow that? Why does God even allow that? And then I wonder, why wouldn't God just, you know, take out the old Roundup and go ahead and take care of them? Because he could, couldn't he? I mean, that's very real. God could say right now, I'm done with all this, if he wanted to. After all, most farmers would walk by and see that weed and, or spray it and get rid of it. Why would God allow the tools of Satan to be sown into the world, because we know the field is what? The world. And to undermine the gospel with another alternative. Boy, we could get real deep right there. We don't have time for that, but we could get real, real deep right there. This parable is sometimes difficult for us to understand because we don't comprehend the full context of this passage, mainly the context of the weed, the actual weed, that Jesus is referring to in this parable. And what do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean, the actual weed? They were farmers. And they had one weed that they couldn't stand to get in with their wheat seed. Because they could not tell the difference between the wheat and the weed until when? Till it was harvest time. So let me give you a little bit more information. You see, this weed, they call it a false wheat. It was very prominent in Jesus' day, and it looked so much like wheat that even the expert farmer cannot tell them apart until the wheat head appears on the stalk. The result of making products from this false wheat had the potential, now listen to this definition, explanation. You want to know how bad Satan is for you? Listen to this. The weed contains a powerful and strong sleep-inducing agent that slowly works to poison the body. Oh my goodness. Is that not God using nature to let us know how filthy and nasty Satan can be when he introduces sin and the opportunity to sin in our life? Is that not what sin does? Sometimes it's quick, but most of the time it's just like this poisoning effect of this weed. It gets in there and it just eats away. And it just slowly tears you down and gets you to a point where you don't even recognize who you are anymore. And then I go back to my question, well, why would God allow Satan to sow that weed in amongst all the good stuff?
Part of it.
Yep. So what we see is that in this parable is the weed contains this strong sleep-inducing agent, and it destroys us, and it can destroy the people who use it to make bread and eat that bread. And over time, if you're allergic to it, people in Jesus' day, guess what would happen to them? Die. What's the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is death. We just talked about it. Hey, when that weed grows, it's going to be gathered and burnt. This isn't just some cool little story that Matthew felt compelled to put in the Bible. It's this cool little story that Jesus wanted Matthew to put in the Bible because Jesus is telling us to be on guard. To be on guard. And we see here that Jesus is warning us about Satan and his ways, but he's also letting us know that Satan's goal is not to really destroy us. Because remember, we're the wheat, right? It's not to necessarily to destroy us, but his goal is to get in amongst us and look a lot like us and grow up looking like us, but when it comes time for the harvest, undermine us. Or not us. The gospel. I say undermine us because if we're spreading the good seed, what's he doing? He's out there spreading bad seed. And he's one of the ones going, hey, look at them crazy Christians over there. I like that label. I don't like the hypocrite label, but boy, you won't call me crazy. I like it. I like it. So it should come as no surprise that much of the things we find comfort in, much of the things that we find happiness in, I get so frustrated. People tell me all the time, say, well, this don't make me happy. Some people need to wake up and realize, and you might, don't get mad, you might be one of them this morning. Life ain't about being happy. It helps. And you can find happiness in Jesus Christ. But the problem is, people search for happiness and joy and all those things anywhere else other than Jesus Christ. And you know who's responsible for that? It's the weed that's been planted. Jesus warned us to avoid false prophets. Matthew 7:15 says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Peter also warned us about false prophets growing up among the people. What you'll find in 2 Peter 2:1-3 is this, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing up themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. See, we think that in this parable, it's about making sure that we protect the good seed, make sure we put it in the right soil and all that stuff. But can I say this to you? Satan's going to go wherever you go. And his whole purpose is to undermine anything you say, anything you do, anything you hope to accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Many times he comes disguised, looking like me. We have some visitors this morning, they don't know me from Adam's house cat. They don't. And that, you know, they can come in here with blind faith and say, well, he's a preacher, but he's got to be telling me how he is. Not always. Not always. Jesus here is warning the people in his day about those that will come along looking the part, acting the part, looking like the little Christian supposed to look, but not spreading the truth, not giving the good seed. Looks like good seed, but it's not good seed. And then we get warned as well about these false prophets. Paul, to the elders in Ephesus, warned them about these ravenous wolves. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Now here he's speaking to who? Me and the elders. And can I say this too? If you teach Sunday school, if you're in any way, form, or fashion, if you teach in STEM at a Christian school, any way, form, or fashion that you've been put in a position to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's who's speaking. It wasn't saying, pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves, ravenous wolves, they'll come in among you and not spare the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So how does this relate to what we're talking about this morning? In our parable, when asked to give an explanation, Jesus does what? He explains the parable. Well, get what did the reapers want to do originally? They wanted to go out and gather the weeds up and get rid of them immediately, right? But Jesus said, no, don't do that. Let them come up. And then when that little head pops up, that you can tell the difference between the real wheat and the false wheat. By the way, it's called a bearded darnel. I don't know if you've ever heard of that wheat. That's the actual name of it. So when they can determine the wheat pod from the bearded darnel pod, then to reap them and separate them. But what does this have to do with what we just read out of Acts? Well, one of the greatest dangers to our faith is the growth of these false prophets, the growth of these false wheat. And as time goes on and the good seed of the gospel spreads, so also will the seeds of this horrible wheat. Look at the world we live in. The gospel is spreading in some areas, but what's spreading faster is the false weeds, the false wheat. And as time goes on, that's going to continue. And I'm not going to stand up here and badmouth people associated with more of the modern, what we call modern day religions. I'm going to say it this way, modern day false religions, because that's what many of them are. But I do want to point out that in all cases, they use just enough of the Bible to look real. But when the time of harvest comes, it'll be discovered that they are indeed false. Now, some of them even call themselves Baptists. That's the truth. Some of them call themselves Church of God or Methodist, right? Some of them have their own denomination. Jehovah's Witness is another one. The Bible wasn't good enough for the Jehovah's Witness. They had to go make their own version of it. Guess what? The Bible wasn't enough for the Mormons. They had to go add a couple more books to it. You know? Because they just thought it wasn't enough. But can I just speak another truth to you this morning? This is the Word of God, and it is enough. It doesn't need anything extra. It doesn't need any help. And what we got to understand is stop trying to help and just try to understand and preach this and only this. Now we go back to that song, right? Live in the world and people see Jesus. You know how you're going to live in the world and people see Jesus? You got to live this. Hey, guess what? If it says don't commit that sin, don't commit the sin. Say, easier said than done, preacher. Well, how do we not commit the sin? Last time I checked, sin has no power over the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, genuinely saved, and the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you trust that, and you believe that, and you got your faith, and oh, by the way, like the farmer, that good seed, then guess what's not going to grow? That weed. Now, how does what we just read out of Acts relate? In the parable, the farmer tells the reapers, don't go into the world. Remember, the field is the world. Don't go into the world and go ahead and harvest. But in this parable, Paul says, but oh, you in the church, you make sure you keep the weeds out of the church. Can I put it back up there, Brady? Go back up. Let me find it. Be careful. Attention to yourselves. I know that. Go back to the first verse. I got to find it. So, there it is right there. To care for what? Be careful. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the field. Nope. Care for the world. Nope. To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Jesus paid too high a price for us to sit on our hands and allow some of the stuff that's going on in our churches to go on. And I don't do a lot of political preaching because I think it's unnecessary. Your politics is your politics, and I'm just going to say it this way. I don't care if you're right, left, and in the middle. If it ain't lined up with God's word, it's all wrong. We belong to the Southern Baptist Convention, and guess what? They've sinned. They've done things that are wrong. But you want me to tell you what's just as bad and just as wrong? It's all those pastors, and it's all those churches, and it's all those Christians who are coming out and saying, I don't want nothing to do with them anymore because they've let me down. You know what? They're following the weeds. They're consuming some bearded darnel. The last time I checked, thank you for mentioning that, by the way, Jackie. We're supposed to operate the same way Jesus operated, with mercy and with grace and with patience and with love. And you find me a perfect person outside of Jesus Christ, then I'll follow and I'll listen, but you ain't going to find me. And instead of us throwing them to the ravenous wolves that we know are there, we ought to come alongside them and try to help them and work with them. Jesus says, don't buy in to the junk, to the garbage, to the message. You trust the truth. Be like the farmer that went to plant the good seed, and all his faith was in what? The seed. Not in the field, not in whether it went on rocky soil, thorny soil, or rich, fertile soil. His faith was in the seed that he had to go spread, and that it was good, and it was true, and it was going to be what it was going to be. That's the Bible, folks. That's the Word of God. So go back to our question. Why is it that God just doesn't pull up all the weeds? Seems like a simple solution to me. I mean, he's the gardener, isn't he? When you say that Jesus will just come on to us, you're not getting it. Time you go, you're not getting it. This is the whole point of this sermon, y'all. Notice where the seeds were sown. What does the field represent? The world. You see, the bearded darnel, this false weed, is sown into the world and not into the church. Why is it important? Jesus tells us to let the weeds grow along with the true wheat. In other words, don't worry about the bad things and the bad people in the world, or at least don't worry about getting rid of them. Boy, we good to do that. Well, so-and-so, boy, he keeps backsliding. He just can't let go of that addiction he's got. He just keeps backsliding. He just can't leave that alcohol alone. He just can't stay out of the sexual joints that exist in Vegas and all. You know, y'all heard that saying that what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know what that means? I'm going to go out there and do what I want to, and they don't nobody know about it. Got news for you. And somebody knows about it. He said, as weeds are sowed in the world, but not in the church. If we're allowing them to be sowed in the church, then we got problems. We got issues. Don't worry about the bad things and the bad people of the world, or at least don't worry about getting rid of them. Boy, we like to do that. We love to go picking some weeds. Linda's over there probably grinning. She comes up here for a visit. Before she even walks in the door, you know what she does? She pulls a weed. Thank you for letting me pick them. But can I just give you some truth? Sometimes, folks, we got to stop. In other words, we got to stop looking at that person, pointing our fingers at them, and going, how dare you, sinner, act that way? And you know what happens when we say that? Instead of calling us crazy Christian and something like that, I say, well, God, unloving, unmerciful, ungracious person trying to condemn me for my own sin when, oh, wait, by the way, I seen them parked at the grocery store. Well, the grocery store sells alcohol, so that's just a bad guy. How that hypocrite can do that to me? We live in a world where the weeds are going to be there, folks. Jesus makes it clear that they are always going to be there. And I got this underlined. I'm going to say it twice. Your job, Christian, your job is to make sure when the time of harvest comes that the harvester can tell the difference between you and the bearded darnel. That's all your job is. Make sure that when the reaper comes, you don't get put in the one that's going to the fiery furnace. Instead, you get the one that's going to be made into something usable and fruitful and beneficial. Along with this, it's important to know that while we shouldn't go out into the world looking to get rid of all the weed, inside the church is a different story. God wants us in here to get rid of the weeds. Well, how can you, sitting in the pew, get rid of the weeds? Well, you got to know this. How do our visitors show up today to know that I'm going to give them the truth after this point moving forward? I hope that they know their Bible well enough to know that I've given you the truth today. And nothing else but the truth. I've given you the Word. I've given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I sometimes get sidetracked and give opinions and give comments and things like that. But I can promise you this. My opinions and my comments have been prayed over and thought over, and it's coming from my foundation. It's coming directly from right here. And if it's not, you have to tell me. Don't say this. I promise you, I ain't gonna think that. If I say something out of the way, maybe I'm not as important as you are on that topic. And that happens. You know why those false prophets can get up there and spew false prophecy and thousands upon thousands of people start writing them checks? Thousands upon thousands of people fill up refurbished football stadiums that hold 100,000 people. You know why? Because it's much easier. Come in here and you know that I haven't shared the truth, and you don't come tell me and say, "Preacher, I don't know that what you said is true. Let's talk about it. Let's at least have a conversation." Then you're just as guilty as I am. Paul makes it very clear. Inside this church, we are to keep the wolves out. We are to keep the weeds out. I'm doing my best with you, but I need you doing with me. You tell me a preacher's going to stand up right and tell you that on Sunday morning. I'm going to finish up. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the followers of Islam, they're not your enemy. They're not. Satan is. Jesus said the reason God didn't want the weeds pulled up was because in Matthew 13:29, we read it there, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Real physical weeds never change. We just said that, right? They were born weeds, they'll die weeds, they'll never be wheat. The bearded darnel, while it might look like wheat, is never going to be wheat. But people who've been the sons of the evil one aren't locked into that. They may be weeds right now, but they don't have to stay a weed. Does that make sense? The power of God can transform them into good seed. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you. I can't read that without getting like this. He saved me at 9 and a half, but man, I ran for a lot of years. It was until my late 30s that I decided to truly give my heart to Christ and follow him. He's patient with you, not wanting any. He's patient with you, not wanting the reaper to come right now and cut you. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why God lets the weeds grow up alongside the wheat. Because he's waiting on the weeds to decide they don't want to be a weed any longer. And Christian, we got to stop going out sometimes and pulling the weeds and writing them off. Because God hasn't, and he's not, until the final harvest comes. Or they take their last breath here on earth and make that choice themselves. That's where 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26 becomes very real. And I want you to listen to this. Having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, you know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. I'm going to read it again. And they may come to their senses and escape from being a nasty old bearded darnel weed and become a born again. Saved Christian that lives to spread the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get fired up, y'all. We might be here longer than I thought. Those who oppose the weeds, those who oppose him, the weeds, God that is, we got to gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth and that they'll come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil. And I've said this in our Revelation study, and I'm going to say it again this morning. Revelation is the final message of Jesus Christ to the lost. It ain't about what the date and time is. It's about, hey, there's always, to the last second, an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's still true today. It's going to be true tomorrow unless he decides to come later today. And don't be like me. I grew up thinking I was a wheat stalk. And then when the little wheat head started popping up, I realized I might not be a wheat stalk. I might be a bearded darnel. And I was happy with that for a little while. And then God said, I don't want you to be like that. I told y'all this story. He woke me up in the middle of the night one time. And he said, you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're going to die. I took that as God saying, all right, buddy, I've called you for long enough. I'm about ready to settle on the answer. Don't leave here today without being the right answer. You weeds in the world ain't your enemy, folks. Satan's your enemy. The weeds have been taken captive by his lies and his deception. I said this in our Revelation study. Our urgency for the lost has got to increase. Our urgency for those that don't know Jesus Christ has got to increase. And you say, what is your urgency? What are you talking about, our urgency? We've got to live our life in such a way that they know who Jesus is. We don't have to go Bible thump them to death, but we got to love them. We got to be merciful with them. We got to be graceful with them. And we got to be all the things that Jesus Christ would be with them in that moment, to include truthful in love. And guess what? Go back to the other parable. When we spread the weed, then we walk away praying to Jesus and say, I hope, Jesus, that that seed is in the fertile ground and not on something rocky and hard or filled with thorns. I don't know about y'all. It's supposed to be harvest season, but I'm telling you, we got lots of things, man. I'm telling you, this harvest festival, I don't know this fall festival. I don't know. They might be 10 show up. They might be 1,000 show up. I don't really care. All I know is that if we're there and we're working, we're going to do it in the name of Jesus. And if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, don't be mad, but stay home. We live in a world that people need to see Christians be Christians, not hypocrites, not blasphemers, not liars, not false prophets. No, they need to see us be Jesus Christ. And the only way they're ever going to do that is when we're bought out and sold out of what we're seeing. Y'all ain't going to let me have another week off. Tree therapy is good. I said I'm going to stop, so we'll stop. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where I want you to be. I know where he wants you to be. Just don't leave without being right. If you're a bearded Darnell, look, the thing is ugly. Just go ahead and leave. But you don't have to have one. You walk out here filled with the Spirit, glowing. But look, true happiness is found in Jesus, not anything this world has. You want to focus on your happiness? Gosh, start with Him. Start with Him. Start with Him. If you're a Christian, you say, you know what? What have I been doing? Maybe I ain't been doing what I should be doing. Man, what a day. What a day to decide, you know what, I ain't going to do it that way. The Lord will do it the way you want me to do it, God. Business with God. Leave here right. Leave here in love with Him. And ready. I mean, ready to go is plant a good seed. And trust the seed. Trust the seed every step of the way. Every step. We'll give it a minute. If you need me, I'll be up here. I'll pray with you and talk with you. I tell you, the Holy Spirit used y'all this morning to pick the right songs in the right places. Right seed in the right song at the right moment. And that song, that That ought to be like the story of my life. Walking and believing the lies. Then one day saying, you know what? The truth's got to be told. It's okay to be broke. Can I say that? You know why it's okay to be broke? Because we got a great healer. That when the truth's been told, and you finally admit that you need it, guess what he'll do? He'll fix you. He'll fix you. And I say that to say this, you don't have to leave broken. You don't have to leave here today broken. You can leave here today knowing him and the process of healing starting. And for some of you, you might leave here today already healed. That's just how it works. I don't get to decide that stuff. What I don't want you to do is leave here the same way that you go to the universe. Don't leave the same that you can. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your lessons this morning. Lord, I pray now that we meditate on them. We allow your word to saturate into our lives. And Lord, if we need to change, let us change. If we need to just improve, let us improve. But God, if we need to be truthful, let us be truthful. But God, as I pray a lot of times, may we leave different than what we think. But Lord, not just so we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that we can go be a light in this dark world. Lord, help us be merciful. Help us be filled with grace. Help us, God, love others as we would want to be loved. And in doing so, God, may your word spread like a wildfire in this community, in this county, in this state, in this country, and in this world. Lord, if there's going to be a revival, I pray, God, that you start right here with me. We thank you, Lord. We praise you.